Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, January the 6th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's a delight to be here. We're honored to have the opportunity to share the ancient Aramaic teachings of forgiveness from the first century and to bring those teachings forward on a global scale is what this radio show is about. And when we talk about forgiveness, we're talking about, and one of the reasons it's such a challenge, is that we're never going to say to you, well, you know, Charlie did something really terrible and so you should forgive him. Or you did something really bad, but just forgive yourself. We're never going to tell you that. In fact, we're going to tell you the exact opposite. We're going to say, never forgive anyone ever again. And the reason that we're going to say that is because you can't. Forgiveness in its actual original form has nothing whatsoever to do with you letting somebody else or yourself off the hook because of some painful experience that you're having inside of you. I know that most of the world is stuck in this conversation about you made me mad, you made me sad, you made me afraid, you hurt me, that upset me, they, you know, damaged me, and on it goes. And our input for folks who are in that kind of a conversation is that's all denial. When I talk about something that's happening inside of me as though it is caused by something outside of me, I'm in denial, and I have to hide the part of my mind with which I caused that. And no matter what the conversation is about what somebody else did, whatever they did, you know, they did this terrible thing, that illegal thing, that wrong thing, that nasty thing, whatever it is they did, and let's all agree, they did it. Okay, just bottom line it. They did it, no question. And you say, but Michael, you should have seen what they did. It was so, what they did to me, what they said to me, how they treated me. It's like, I give you all of that, and that's all cool. But that is not the cause of what happened inside of you that created the disturbance. That's the trigger for what's inside of you. But what you're feeling is what's inside of you. And, you know, it's kind of like the good news and the bad news with this work. The good news is that once you recognize, you know, your neighbor said something nasty to you, your spouse, you know, made a comment that you just detested. Once you recognize that, if you're in a state of pain or turmoil over what appears to be their behavior or their comment, when you recognize, and this is the good news, when you recognize that this pain or turmoil is something that is happening inside of you, and it belongs to you, and it is changeable through forgiveness, so that you could stand in exactly the same circumstance and experience no response whatsoever. Gene's got a really powerful story that she tells. We're out in Las Vegas a couple of years ago, and we were doing a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop, and there was a medical doctor there who had asked a question, and Jeannie was giving some feedback. You want to share that, Jeannie? Because that's such a powerful example of the kind of change that takes place as you do your work.
Sure. I had done a lot of worksheets on feeling like I wasn't worthy to be listened to. And I'm getting feedback from your microphone there, Michael. Anyway, I had done a whole lot of work on around not being worthy of being listened to. And so here we were in this Saturday workshop, and I was giving this gentleman some feedback. And at halftime, when we took intermission for lunch, this girl came up to me, and she was like, can I talk to you for a minute? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I took her in another room. You know, I thought she wanted to process something that was going on for her. And she said, did you notice when you were giving that guy feedback, he wasn't paying any attention to you? And it was like, whoa. And so it was like, yes, that means the worksheets are working, because there wasn't a time where it was like, oh, okay, I'm done with that, I've got it handled, until she pointed it out. And I realized the exact same situation had happened, which normally would have triggered my, see, nobody's listening to me. And I was oblivious that he wasn't paying attention to me. It was like I was offering him feedback, and, you know, whatever he did with it on his end was fine. And I was like just an observer of the situation, and it never even entered my conscious awareness that he wasn't paying attention to me. So that was pretty cool. And it was like, you know, but then I was able to work with her, and I was like, okay, but apparently you have something around it, because it was, she was furious that he hadn't paid attention to me. And so it was like, okay, so what's this about for you? And I was able to share with her then doing the work and how, you know, I had apparently reached a point where it was like, well, this is okay. If he doesn't want to listen, that's fine. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, nice piece of work. And, you know, so when you recognize that there's a response from the inside, or in this case, I believe you said, Jeannie, that her response was fury, then, you know, you can bet that she's been through that type of fury 87 different times with 42 different people. And of course, the issue is around being listened to or being honored. Then as she starts to do worksheets for herself and delve inside of herself, what forgiveness is going to look like is going inside and removing her fury. You know, whoever told us that forgiveness was about removing content from your own mind? No, we've always been told in our Western cultures especially that forgiveness is about how, you know, they did something terrible that caused all this pain inside of me, but it's okay, I'll forgive them. And if I say to somebody, I let you off the hook for what you did, I've done nothing whatsoever to change the content of my own mind. And if I never change the content of my own mind, then I'm going to get to do that over and over and over again until I start to remove that response in me that is the cause of my pain. So once again, the good news is, the pain that you experience that appears to be the result of something happening in your world has nothing whatsoever to do with what's happening in your world, except that what is happening is the trigger for that. And the pain is warning you that you have a disease process going on inside of you. To pay attention to the pain and apply forgiveness to the energy at the root of the pain is to literally remove physical diseases, or so-called physical diseases. So the good news is, when I recognize that 100% of the time it comes back to me and I have work to do, I get to forgive. I get to remove what never belonged in me, and I get to heal. And that person, in fact, has given me a pretty awesome gift, because they've shown me what it
Michael,
is.
your voice is going away.
Cell phones, what can I say? Is that any better?
Yes.
Okay, so I get to apply forgiveness to my disease, and in fact, you'll actually get to the point as you do your work of thanking people who show you parts of your mind that are hidden from you, people who give you the opportunity to look at those places inside yourself that cause you pain, and you get to alleviate the cause of your pain, which means your diseases will start to go away. This is pretty awesome. Now, the bad news is that 100% of the time that I'm in pain, it's about something inside of me. And I need to start to recognize that letting somebody else off the hook is not where the solution lies. And so that's what we're here to share with you. We've got a whole new year happening. It's an awesome, really fabulous time to be alive on planet Earth. There is so much happening, especially in the arena of healing and the arena of wholeness and really truly understanding at depth, especially the tool of forgiveness. And so we're just honored and delighted that each of you is with us wherever you are in the world. And if you're on one of those stations that we can't see you, we can't access you directly, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear your questions if you have any for us. And Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is with us, and he's on, and we do have two callers, too.
Oh, cool. Well, let's say hello to the young man, and then we'll go to our callers. Hey, Dr. Tim, welcome, sir.
Good morning, or wait, that was for earlier today. Good afternoon.
It is afternoon already. Cold, cold afternoon. Went down to minus -4 here last night.
Okay, so we're currently at minus -20 here without the wind chill.
A literal minus
without
20
wind
or wind chill?
Yeah, and the temperature has been dropping since we got up this morning. Oh, wait.
Really?
It's going up to minus 18.
Ouch.
The bright sunshine out, it's minus 18.
I'm going back to Costa Rica.
So anyway, it feels like minus 47. With
the wind chill, is that what it is? It's minus 47?
Yeah, the wind is at 23 miles an hour with gusts up to 34.
Wow.
And the actual temperature is minus 18. I've had a couple people call and say, I don't want to come into my appointment today. And I say, okay, use your best judgment. Stay warm, stay happy, stay safe.
Wow. Chilly.
So we are blessed to have electricity and to have cars that function and nice houses and offices to work from. So we're blessed. I'm doing very, very well. And I thoroughly enjoyed the Aramaic Friday. I'm looking forward to four more. And I believe that tomorrow night in our support group, we will be listening to some Dale Allen Hoffman talk. And
cool.
And doing worksheets again. So that's what's up for me.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you and stay warm. You know, we were supposed to on Saturday go back to Theodosia, but it was looking so cold, and, you know, we have wood heat. We don't have central heat in the house. So we just decided we had some timeshare points to burn, so we're still in Branson, and we're going to stay here for the next few weeks and kind of ride this out till we're back on the road again. So we had some points we were going to lose by April anyway, and with Branson being, you know, the town shut down for the month of January, and so the timeshare values dropped, you know, dramatically like a rock. So what we'd normally pay for 1 week, we can get 6 weeks of timeshares for, and we've got those points to burn. So that's what we're doing. We're staying here. We're sticking to it. So, Jeannie, you've got a caller for us. Let's say hello to our caller.
Okay. The first one is area code 251. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Welcome. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Angela Baker. Hi, I'm calling from Spartanburg.
Welcome. How can we support you today?
Well, I've got a worksheet here, and it's the quick form reality management, and there were four things that I could think of yesterday evening, and I probably could have come up with some more. But my boyfriend, who, of course, is studying forgiveness also, so I'm very blessed for that, I guess. But I just, he makes me mad all the time.
He makes you mad.
And I know he doesn't make me mad, but man, it's
no,
just like, yeah, I do. I really do. I know
no,
he's
don't.
Showing me, he's showing me a part of me that I need to bring some love to. And I just don't know where this stuff is coming from. It keeps coming up, and I just keep turning it over. I wanted to share one specific instance, and it was just that last night something about him being closed-minded, you know, and although,
uh-huh.
you know, he's not, I perceive him to be sometimes, but the first thing that always comes up for me is anger. Is that always the root emotion, or is that just, you know, what comes up, and then when I look at it, you know, could there be a multitude of emotions underneath that? I mean, like,
well,
I'm trying to understand this anger. It's my primary response for everything.
Yeah. So anger isn't the primary emotion. It's the primary drug. And you can't figure it out. You can't figure it out, and you can't understand it.
Okay.
All you can do is forgive it. And while you say, I know it's my anger, notice that the automatic, there's a thing we call regulatory speech. And notice that your regulatory speech, what your mind automatically says is, he makes me mad. So in your head, you know that it's yours. But in your heart, there's not one iota of belief that it's got anything to do with you. And that's pretty typical. That's standard for almost all of us. And so when you look at the situations that happen, the situation resonates something painful. For instance, in the case of the example that Jeannie just shared, this woman's in fury over what? Being dissed by a man. Well, a man not listening to her, there could be many roots to that. It might mean that when she was a child and she spoke up, somebody just smashed her in the mouth. That might be the root of her pain. It might be when she was a child and she spoke up that her power person, maybe mom or dad or both of them, ignored her. So in that case, her worksheets would be on being ignored. Where she got hit, it might be on being physically abused. So there could be many, many roots, and usually are many roots before we get to the core of it. And whenever anger rears its head, anger is an internally produced addictive substance, chemical, that literally anesthetizes our pain. So for this woman who, you know, maybe when she was three, you know, dad just turned around and hauled off and belted her in the mouth, and she had all kinds of emotions and pain, physical pain, emotional pain, rejection. There's a whole complex in there that she's going to work through now, you know, 30 years later, piece by piece by piece, to dismantle the pain that today never shows itself. 30 years later, she goes into rage because the pain is too much to handle. And so they're the worksheet situations where, you know, when they ask Yeshua, how many of these darn worksheets do we have to do anyway? Is seven enough? And in Aramaic, his reply was no. 77 times 70. And of course, that's not a literal number, but it is a figurative number that says you're going to do an infinite amount of work around this issue until you are freed of it internally. And so there might be, in any particular situation, you know, if your primary response is anger, you'll notice that you're addicted to your anger. And when you slow down enough and let yourself touch in, when you can clear off that layer of anger, you'll see that underneath it there's pain. And that's what you really ultimately have to get to. And, of course, it's an intellectual process to say, I know this is mine. And many people will say it like this. Well, I know this is mine, but you should have seen what he did. And, you know, I really don't know that it's mine. My head does, but my heart really believes that my pain is about what he did. And it's not. And, you know, because one of the things about the human mind, you know, there's some interesting Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, the max amount of information that comes to conscious awareness is 9 bits. Dr. Tim, you had some new information that had come out of some recent research. Do you happen to have that off the top of your head?
Well, that research said that in every second we process 1 million bits of information, and we can be consciously aware of 40. It's either 1 million or 11 million. It's very similar, and the numbers really don't matter when they're that big.
Right.
The process is the same. There is so much going on that we cannot be aware of consciously, and that's the key.
And so when you recognize that you're looking at, you know, a tiny fragment of what's going on inside, you recognize that what you have is an evidential mind. And the thing that controls what evidence you're allowed to see is your words and your beliefs. So if my automatic words are, you know, he makes me angry, what I'm saying to my mind is, mind, you are only allowed to use data that proves that he's the cause of my anger. Or if there is no data to prove that he's the cause of my anger, then you need to create an hallucination for me that proves to me that he's the cause of my anger. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he's not the cause of your anger, but he is the one who can resonate your pain. Now, one of the things to recognize, and you know, many people will say, I mean, I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had people say, I just don't get it. You know, I meet somebody, they're sweet, they're wonderful, and I'm sweet and I'm wonderful. We have just a wonderful time, but it always ends up the same way. I always end up going down that road with them, and it ends up the same way. Why are all men, or, you know, in the opposite case, why are all women the same? And my offering is, they're not. They're not even similar, but you are. And your perception comes, your 9 bits of data comes from what's inside of you. And if we leave you two in the same room, any two people in the same room long enough and often enough, they're going to step on each other's realities, and they're going to give each other opportunities to learn forgiveness. Then add to that the fact that you've engaged in physical intimacy. Something they haven't told us about the way this energy system works is that when we engage in physical intimacy with a person, we just passed to them and took on each other's whole genetic structure. So he now has access to things in you that you don't have access to, and if you haven't noticed it, vice versa. You can trigger him in a fraction of a second. Because energetically, when we intercourse with someone, we exchange energies on that level. And it's perfect. It's awesome that it's exactly the way it's designed to work, because through that relationship, you're going to get every opportunity that you need to learn forgiveness. And as you are willing to drop out of your anger and into the deep root of the pain that's there, and that's what the worksheet process will do. The thing that controls which 9 bits of data that you are allowed to see is your words formed into goals. So when I say, you know, Charlie, I really want you to speak to me more gently, I just put a goal into my mind for Charlie to speak gently. If I have a file in my mind on men who speak harshly to me and hurt me, then energetically, when I say, I want you, Charlie, to speak gently to me, I'm resonating the part of my mind, the energetic part of my mind that holds pain about being spoken harshly to. Guess which energy is going to have the strongest impact? It's going to be the one with the highest emotional charge. And so the reason why in the Aramaic forgiveness process, and you know how Yeshua came up with this genius piece of understanding, I don't know. I've never seen it anywhere else on the planet. You know, the Buddhists get kind of close to it because the Buddhists say, oh, let go of attachment, let go of attachment, let go of attachment. But they don't tell you that the way you get attached is by having a goal for something. The only place I've found this, like, to me, it's the supremely important piece of information, is that you cancel, in an Aramaic, the word that's been translated as forgive is shebag, and it means to cancel. You cancel the goal that gave your mind the instruction to use its dissociated pain to build your brain's image of your partner. And as you cancel that goal, you collapse the projection of that content, that part of your mind, and at the same time you open a pathway directly into that dissociated part of the mind. Now, when you first start doing that, that might be more than you can handle. You know, it's, you know, they talk in the ancient scriptures about strength to strength, here a little, there a little. And we can only hear, it says, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to you. We can only hear a little bit of it at the time because we come from a culture that's so far out in left field that it takes time to build the brain cells for, oh, yes, this is about me, this is mine, and I'm going to work through it. And I have a partner, I mean, that's pretty awesome that you have a man in your life in today's world. It's, unfortunately, it's relatively rare the way men have been abused into being tough and macho and has to be in control and all those games. It's relatively rare to find a man who's capable of going into doing their work at this point. So it's pretty cool that you've got someone who's there to join with you and to support you in doing it. That's awesome. And
yeah,
all of that knowledge isn't going to change the hidden part of your mind that still has to be surfaced and healed.
Yeah, that's perfect. Clearly what I needed to hear. Yeah, good stuff. So inviting the divine, I mean, just basically asking God to restore me, I mean, that's, you know, you talked about you open the door just by choosing that, by canceling the goal, you open the door and then stuff is going to come up and you just keep turning it over, right? Just keep looking at it and doing the worksheet and that's it.
Exactly. You know, in the ancient teachings, they had enough knowledge to be able to say, you can't forgive, only God can forgive. In the true sense. Now, people talk about God forgiving. It's like, well, ask God for forgiveness. Well, forget it. God's never going to forgive you because you have never done anything to offend God. Oh, but that's so in the face of the story of the people who want to keep us in fear. God is love. Love contains no offense, is incapable of taking offense. So there's no forgiveness from God in the sense of God's going to let you off the hook for what you've done. That's all a story that leads us down a totally back road that will never get us anywhere. However, the Creator, the energetic force of love in you, when you do your part and open the space for it to move through you will remove, release, cancel, let loose everything that you've decided to open your fingers on. If there's a part of you that thinks, oh, but my rage protects me, the Creator can't touch that. You can say, take this away, God, take this away, take this away. God can't take away what you've got your fist clenched around, because you've got been given free will, and that's never going to be violated. But the Creator and the active presence of love is that which moves what we're willing to take out of hiding. And I take it out of hiding by canceling my goal, by collapsing the projection that it's happening outside of me. And the deeper I'm willing to go into that hidden part of me, the deeper the Creator's love can accompany me and forgive that data, that is, remove that data. So it's not forgiveness in the sense of God's going to let you off the hook for anything. God's never judged you for anything. No letting off the hook needed. But when you invite the divine into every cell, into your genetics, into every level of your body, mind, spirit, being, genetics, bloodline, and you stand in willingness to let that open, then the Creator's energy moves in you and removes what never belonged. The only limit is your willingness to have it happen. Go for it.
You need to take those words and put them in a paragraph somewhere. That was absolutely beautiful. I'm going to go back and listen to that again. That was, I mean, this has been, it's such a loving journey. You know, really, you have to, I just find myself with no choice but to allow myself to be supported, you know. And it's just not easy, you know, for some, when you had, you know, so much happen in your life. So it's really beautiful just to know that all we have to do is just be willing, and that it appears that most of the work is done for us. And that's so not what we are used to hearing from everywhere.
Exactly. And you have a part in the work. You know, you have to lead the process. You can't just say, okay, God, take it all away from me. But you have a part in the process, and your part is to look at the situation you're in, identify the goal that you have for whoever the object of the projection is, cancel the goal, let the projection be collapsed, and delve down into the deeper hidden part. And in many cases, you'll go right down into the deepest layers and levels of your genetics. And as you do, the genetic link to your partner that motivates them to unconsciously trigger that part in you will shift in them as well. You know, an example we have of that, you know, probably one, I could give you 100 examples, but one of the most powerful ones that I have in my repertoire is a young lady who came to an intensive about, oh, maybe 5 years ago at Heartland. And she came specifically to work around an issue of being cut off from her daughter and from her granddaughter. And when she was a young woman, she had married a man and gotten pregnant, and the young man went to jail. And they were doing drugs and alcohol. He went to jail for drugs, and her life was hell. Well, she finally started to extract herself from that hell. And 20 years later, the product of that marriage, her daughter is now 20, meets a man, gets married, has a baby, and he goes to jail. I mean, an exact repeat. And Mom, having compassion for her daughter and having been there, done that, says, sweetheart, you've got to get out of that relationship. This is never going to work. That's just a path that will lead you to more pain than you want. And her daughter went into rage and cut off communication with her, would not let her see her granddaughter, would not have anything to do with her. She was at Heartland, and she did a particularly powerful kind of ring-out processing session around that issue in the intensive. And it was lunchtime, and so she would walk down to her cabin. The cabin's about 150 feet away. She walked down to her cabin, and she's going to take a nap instead of have lunch. She reaches over to turn off her cell phone. And literally, she shared with us when she came back up, the instant her hand touched the cell phone to turn it off, it rang, and it was her daughter who cut off all communication. And here's her daughter on the other end of the phone. Now, she's in Missouri at Heartland, our teaching center, and her daughter's in Florida. And there she is on the phone. Mom, you know, I realize that I've been in error. I know we need to clean this up. I love you, and we need to get back together when you get back to Florida. Literally that quickly. And I could tell you story after story after story where we've seen that kind of thing. So oftentimes the energetic dynamic inside of ourselves that we have pressed down so hard, so deeply, becomes a powerful influence on the people around us. And oftentimes even against their own will and choice, they'll do a behavior, even scratching their head saying, God, why did I say that? That's not like me. And it's literally motivated energetically through that energetic link you have with them. And as you change that energetic pattern in yourself, you send out a whole different message, and everything changes. It's pretty awesome.
Very cool. Thank you so much.
Absolutely delighted. Thank you for your question. We much appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day, guys. Thanks.
All right. We hold you in the blessing. Best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you. Same to all of you.
Okay.
Thanks, Angela.
Bye. Thank you.
Our next caller is 607. I think this might be Richard. Hello, and how are you, Richard?
How are you guys?
Happy New Year. We're rocking and warm.
Yeah, I hear you're staying warm in Missouri. It's a wonderful yo-yo year. Temperatures up, temperatures down. That's what it's been on the East Coast here anyway.
Pretty crazy.
What I wanted to talk to you about, though, was I had a situation this morning where I was talking to a friend or acquaintance, and he's a martial artist, and he went to punch a brick to break it and had broke his hand because they didn't know the bricks had rebar in it. Anyway,
ouch.
So what came up for me is when I hear trauma stories like that, my hamstrings just, I feel this in my hamstrings, this pain in my hamstrings. They literally just crank up real big, you know, and I feel this pain in my hamstrings every time I hear a traumatic story like that. So I was wondering how I could apply the forgiveness worksheet to that situation.
Okay. Well, as a child, were you spanked?
Yeah. You know, at one point, I had a run-in with my brother at one point.
What's happening with your breath as I ask that question?
Well, I'm breathing.
Good breath, that's it. Yeah. So that's where I'd start. I'd start with that and look at that issue of starting out with being spanked and then tying that in with physical abuse. And then maybe moving in the direction of, was there emotional abuse?
Well, one thing that happened to me, and my brother reminded me of it this weekend on Facebook. It had been real cold for a real long time, and I grew up on a farm, and I was up in the silo, you know, pitching out the silage. It had gotten down to the point where I could barely throw it up and out the door because we weren't able to get any doors open because they were froze. So when I got out in the chute, I decided I was going to get this door open. So I, you know, unlatched the things and put my feet up against the door because it was frozen shut. and I pushed as
so
hard as I
could. So now your hamstrings are tight?
What's that?
So now your hamstrings are tight. Go ahead.
I'm pushing as hard as I can, and I'm holding my breath, and the door pops open, and I blacked out and fell down the silo into the cart, which my brother was pushing in at the time, and I got the wind knocked out of me because the one edge of the cart caught me right in the shoulder blade. And, of course, my brother freaked out. He went running down, And, of course, at the time, my father wasn't around, but my mother, had to call the next door neighbor to take me to the hospital. But, I was freaking out because, what the situation was. You get your breath knocked out, you think you're dying, and I was asking, am I dying? What's going on, Anyway, so that was pretty traumatic right there, anyway, it just happened that my brother reminded me that he was talking about what happened because they got cold weather right now. But anyway, so that was an interesting, you're right, my hamstrings were tight, and then the door popped open, my feet run in, and with that release of that energy, I blacked out. I don't know if you've ever done the situation where you ask somebody to take 10 deep breaths and then hold them, and they'll literally black out when you release
right.
them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's basically what happened. But that trauma is still in my body, apparently, in my hamstrings.
Sounds like it. So it sounds like that would be one of your 77 times 70 worksheet issues.
Just keep breathing through it, huh?
I keep breathing, and I keep looking at all of the aspects of that, and, does it tie into other abuse situations, other places where you've been physically injured or emotionally injured, and to look at, one of the issues you've processed a lot and worked on is that old anger issue. And so to maybe just ask for guidance, ask, when you go to sleep tonight, here's a good technique. Take a glass of water to bed with you. And as you're ready, the last minute before you're ready to go to sleep, drink half of the glass of water. And as you're drinking it, just ask, I would like to be shown what this tightness is that shows up in my hamstrings and how to resolve it. And in the morning when I wake up, I'm going to drink this other half glass of water and remember whatever guidance I've got in my dreams or sleep. And just see what that produces for you. You may find yourself just opening the door wide open to clean that out and release that trauma and that stress, and that will change, because if the hamstrings are tight, that deals with calves, it deals with posture, feet, back. I mean the whole game. And of course, you know how to do a lot of the myofascial release around that with the profession that you're in. So I'd say that would be a really powerful piece of work to do.
Well, I think because of the work that I do, I'm more aware of it. That's for sure.
Yes. Right.
I have an interesting quote when you were talking this morning, and Jeannie's, about Jeannie's situation. Anyway, an interesting quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. It goes, "Compassionate listening has one purpose, to help the other person suffer less. You have to nourish the awareness that no matter what the other person says, you will keep calm and continue to listen. You do not judge while listening. You keep your compassion alive. The other person may be unjust, may say inaccurate things, blame, attack, or judge, yet you maintain your energy of compassion so that your seed of suffering is not touched." In other words, when we're
right on track.
Yeah, and you were basically talking about the same thing, about, being able to not allow that seed of suffering, and that's where the forgiveness work comes in, is to release that energy in your body so you're not touched by that seed of suffering.
Exactly. That you are the space. And ultimately, that to me is the key and the reason for doing the whole body of work, is to literally be that space.
Exactly. So, anyway, thanks for all your guys' input and all the work you've done, and hope you guys stay warm in Branson.
We're doing it. All right, sir. We appreciate you. Blessings. Lots of love.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. I love it. What an awesome opportunity. And our calling number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question or thought for us, Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room for us to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
No, a comment was made, though, in the chat room for Richard, and that it might have to do with balance. The hamstrings, you know, happen to do with the balance, and so might want to look at that, too, balance in his life.
Cool. Good catch. That might be another interesting place to do worksheets, and the way that one might do worksheets on something like that might be in number 1A, you put balance, and, you know, you might think of times where you've lost your physical balance or been emotionally out of balance, and they'd be perfect worksheets to do. You could do one, do worksheets with your own name in it, and, you know, last Tuesday I almost fell down the stairs, or, you know, I was so emotionally imbalanced I went into a rage. You might do, you know, a number of different worksheets that would move in the direction of cleaning up around that balance issue. Good catch. Thank you for whoever shared that one.
That was from Peacemaker.
Cool. Thank you, Peacemaker. I hope all is well in the world. You're probably up there in cold country.
Actually, he just said we were talking about weather at the beginning, and he said it's like 20-some degrees there, and I was like, what's with that? You should be in colder weather than we are. But he said his muscles were sore from shoveling snow, though. He said he's enjoying 24 degrees. So.
Well, we just told you in a blessing getting to have that heat wave of 24 degrees while we're down here at 4 degrees.
Actually, my phone right now says it's just at 1.
It's 1. Oh, well, it's warming up then because it was -4 earlier, so it's getting warmer. That's cool. It's pretty crazy when you say 1 degree is getting warmer, isn't it? So we've got a few minutes left if anybody has a comment or a question. Our call-in number, if you're listening to us on your computer or one of the stations we don't have access to.
We got a hand up.
Oh, cool. Well, let's just go for it then. Say hello.
Area code 541, you're on the air. Who do we have?
You have to guess. No.
I
Julie,
bet
the
this
only
is
one.
Julie from
Julie
Oregon.
Julie from Ashland. I know. I'm known by my number. So, and
there
other things, I'm sure. just for the record, the weather here has been unusually warm. We had yesterday 55 degrees. And in early
rub
December,
it in, why
we
don't
had.
You?
Huh? I'm not trying to.
Rub,
no, I'm just saying.
Rub it in, why don't you?
No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm commenting on a belief in my mind that weather is being controlled and managed, hopefully for the betterment of the planet. Perhaps they're, you know, I mean, science has been studying weather control for a long time, at least. I was informed of that by someone studying at Stanford, you know, way back when I was 20 years old, which was way back 40 years ago. So, I mean, they really do have, you know, an interest in seeing if they can control weather for whatever reasons. And I'm really learning to clear out my mind from having it be a worst-case scenario because there's a lot of fear, you know, about chemtrails and whatever. So I'm just saying that to trigger people's minds into what we all do with this information. And let's have it be that it's actually for taking care of our planet and bringing back our polar caps, possibly. And I'm not saying they have the answer, but they do have the means, at least I've heard from some scientists, to actually what's going on right now is they're moving the jet stream from where we usually get it first here on the coast, they're moving it further north, and all, you know, I didn't really remember all the places listed of where it's going, but anyway, it is crazy. It's insane that we think we have to do all this, but there are people who like to study science in those ways. And they don't really tell us all of the science that they're doing so that we could be more comfortable with the true intent. And so what we can do is work on the realities in our own minds about it and remove our fears and whatever our particular thoughts are and keep rising our own ground and vibration of being to the highest and best, which loves intelligence gives us the opportunity. So there, I'm not rubbing it in. I'm dissolving it, hopefully.
There you go.
So.
Yeah, and to if our fear is around misuse, while we have the courage to look into places where there might be misuse in any arena, we also have the courage to bring a healed mind and heart to that misuse, and also to look at our own lives at places where we might be out of integrity. And if we're out of integrity, then, you know, the tendency would be to create people around us that are out of integrity being drawn to us. And so as we clean up the integrity issues in ourselves, and then we start to open the space for a different collective result. So I certainly join you in that.
Wow, Michael, that's so, so important what you just said. I hope everyone else heard that too. But I've been noticing little integrities in my life that are seemingly nothing, but I'm noticing what I'm doing is burying them and letting them go unconscious. For example, I think I sideswiped someone's car a couple of weeks ago. I thought I was just crunching in the snowy ice, and then it turns out I think, you know, it was dark, and I think I crunched their car. I got out and looked. I didn't really see anything, and I was in a hurry, and blah, blah, blah. I justified not doing something responsible in that moment, and now I've been carrying it around. Now, I can do a worksheet on it, and that is a good thing. I'm just noticing, though, my tendency is to carry around these lackful of integrity actions that I do, and until I address them, I'm carrying them around. And that's just a little one in my current life. How many are there still to look at beyond? But and I have not done a worksheet yet because I just know there's more than just this instance. And I'm not wanting
so that's
to
all
go
the
there
more,
yet.
So that's all the more reason to get started.
Yes.
And notice that when you say, I don't want to go there, notice that you go there, but you go there in external ways, seeing people outside of you being out of integrity and having fear about that. That's all an inside job. So the first place you want to go is go there to clear that out so that you can go somewhere else in your mind.
Yes.
Then.
Remember
in Romans, the physics language Aramaic, when they said, beware you who judge another, for that in which you judge another, you've been guilty of practicing. It's all an inside job. So, you know, the behavior that I accuse someone else of is the behavior that I'm doing. And the way that I tell, now, you know, there are only two ways you can see an issue. One, you've got the issue. You've got to have the issue in order to see the issue.
Mm-hmm.
There are two places you can see it from. One is, I haven't worked through this, so I've got all kinds of upset about what they've done, which means I haven't worked through my upset around myself doing this particular behavior. The second place I can look at it from is, I've been there, done that, because I have the brain cells for it, and I've worked through it, and therefore I can bring a pure heart, a heart of love and the presence of love to bring healing to that situation. The person who's railing and pointing their finger at them is really pointing at the part of their minds that they have not yet cleaned up. When I stop railing about it and I'm honest enough and clear enough and courageous enough to look at some of the insanities in the culture, I can bring a state of a healed mind to that, and I can help facilitate the healing of that issue on the planet. But not until I've done it.
Yeah. So what am I waiting for?
There you go. There you go.
It's like you said earlier.
It's called... Go ahead.
Oh, I said earlier in the show, you said that we have to do our own work. It's not just a belief or a concept that we can believe and think about and know.
Yes. And the reason why don't I want to go there? Because I'm trapped in Satan. And remember, in Aramaic, Satan means not the dude with the red suit, the tail, and the pitchfork. It's a lowercase word. Satan means the resistor, one who misleads. So when I go into resistance about somebody who I see outside of me that's out of integrity, my mind then misleads me into believing that it's their problem and look what they've done. So when I go running away and I don't want to deal with this and I don't want to talk about this, it's because I have more of a load of energy inside of me than I want to process around this. But the only solution is to process it. You know, we're coming full circle to the original, some of the original conversation that we had in this show of I want to look at the energetic dynamic that I'm contributing to the world and make sure that it is in integrity. And if it's not, own it, admit it, do my work, and change the game.
Wow. Thank you, Michael. I feel better.
So you're going to send me a text when you get 5 worksheets done around this issue?
Oh, do you think there will be that many?
I would say
yes.
At least.
All right. Yes, I will.
Okay. I got your
I'll
word on that.
I'll send you a text. Yeah, I will send you a text when I've done
cool.
the 5 worksheets.
Right.
Wherever they lead, you know, I don't know if it'll stick to that issue, but it'll be interesting. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Well, we appreciate you. You have a blessed day, and again, the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you. You too.
All right, and we're down to just a minute or so we're going to kind of have to close out the show. If you're interested in taking your work to the next level, you might look at the website. We're doing a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive in Costa Rica starting the 21st of February. And so we've got an awesome facility in the rainforest in Costa Rica. You might want to join us February 21st to March 1st. And get out of that cold weather. If you are in a space where, you know, you've seen some benefit from this work and you want to support what we're doing, we actually just got an estimate for the labor on our crashed roof on one of our buildings at Heartland, one of our storage buildings. And so we're looking at a $5,000 bill in labor, and I don't know what the parts are going to be yet. Looks like it's going to be another probably 3 or 4. So any help from our friends would be helpful to get that one taken care of and keep things moving forward at Heartland. In the meantime, we appreciate you. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.